7:18 a.m. broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. In studio, the new official guest host of the Tennessee Star Report, Aaron Gulbranson. Aaron, of course, our lead political reporter at the Tennessee Star. By the way, a note on Grant Henry. Grant did a fantastic job for us here as official guest host, and he's now gone off to manage the 5th Congressional District race of Andy Ogles. So a great job by Grant here at the Tennessee Star Report, and we certainly wish him well there, and we may hear back from him again in the future, I would think. Now, Aaron, you are, how you describe your, you're a political junkie. You're a political nerd. You know all the details. You know all the stories. You get it right. So here, we hire you. You've moved to Tennessee after years in Virginia. You know our friend John Fredericks very well, who's the radio host that is our partner in Virginia with the Virginia Star, and in Georgia with Georgia Star News, and in Pennsylvania with the Pennsylvania Daily Star. So you know all those guys. You know John, and you know the ways of politics. You were here with the American Center for Law and Justice for a period of time. And then we've hired you, and you've been covering this 5th Congressional District race. It's a fascinating story. Redistricted from Jim Cooper, who was Democrat plus 20, all of Davidson County, a little bit of Dixon, a little bit of Cheatham, but a safe seat for decades, for a century for the Democrats. Redistricted now, and it's got the lower third of Davidson County, the western half of Wilson, the eastern half of Williamson County, and all of Marshall, Murray, and Lewis counties. It's been a wild, wild GOP primary race. How does it compare to some of the other congressional district races that you've participated in Virginia as a consultant, and that you've written about and covered in your other journalistic efforts?
Well, I don't think anybody's campaign headquarters has burned down yet. So that's and hopefully will not. So I've seen that happen before. There was also a candidate that I worked with in a primary that he staged a fake wedding. So and pretended to be married to his girlfriend in order to what he thought would get votes. Yeah, there's
so it's not gotten to that level.
So it's not gotten to that level. But so we've had a lot of party intrigue and a number of things like that. But right now we're pretty much in the fundraising grassroots phase.
So let's talk about that. There are 9 qualified candidates. 3 disqualified candidates. We'll talk about the disqualified briefly. Baxter Lee, a guy from Tennessee, been a Tennessean for many, many years, was disqualified. He voted in 2 out of the 4 recent primaries. Morgan Ortegas was endorsed by President Trump, but disqualified, and apparently is not challenging that in court. We have a tweet from her, by the way, that just came out yesterday. Kind of interesting. It's a picture of her at the State Department. She was former spokesperson for Mike Pompeo. The tweet said, "I've been fighting for America all my life. Neither sexism, anti-Semitism, nor the threats of communist China and their Iranian regime have ever kept me down. I have never, caps, missed an opportunity to raise my hand and serve our incredible country. More to come tomorrow, dot, dot, dot." So that'll be interesting to see whatever she has to come. Tomorrow.
It's a lot of buildup, so it better be worth the
we'll find out.
The hype that she's putting. So,
the other disqualified candidate, Robbie Starbuck, he filed a lawsuit in federal court, smacked down.
That is putting it mildly.
Put it mildly. The judge said no. You don't have a case here, and he's trying to raise money apparently to file a lawsuit in state court. I think it's a little bit too late. But he might file something, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So those are the 3 disqualified candidates. Now, for the 9 qualified candidates, let's see if I can do these from memory. You have former Speaker of the Tennessee House, Beth Harwell.
Yep.
You've got a mayor of Murray County, Andy Ogles.
Mm-hmm.
Former retired Brigadier General, Kurt Winstead.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Beierline, a West Point grad and a combat veteran, Black Hawk pilot. 15-year executive here in healthcare in Tennessee, Stuart Parks, Jenny Batchelor, Trace Whittem, Timothy Lee, and who am I missing? I'm missing one other. There's one other in there somewhere, right?
There is, but you're...
Yeah. Well, I did okay.
The human brain kind of tends to going towards so, who actually has a chance.
Natisha Brooks.
Yes.
Sorry about that, Natisha. She's been...
She actually has Grizzly one heck of a speech.
Yeah, she's a good speaker.
She's an amazing speaker.
And we had a couple straw polls, one in Wilson County, GOP, that Andy Ogles won, kind of going away. Mm-hmm. And then Natisha was second place there.
Yep.
Beth Harwell was third place. Straw poll down in Marshall County, Andy Ogles won. Kurt Winstead in second place. Down there. How is the money playing out? I suppose when you look at these primaries, you got to say, who's got the money? If you had to say who's in the game, who would be in the first tier of raising money?
Well, you have Andy Ogles, and this is very unusual that he released his finance numbers in the middle of the quarter, which demonstrates how strong they were. It was $453,000.
He officially got in the race April 6th.
Yep.
The FEC accounting period ends March 31st. The other candidates disclosed their first quarter fundraising. Right. He got in officially April 6th. 30 days later, he announced he'd raised $453,000. I think it was all from within the district, from what I recall of that press release. That's pretty strong.
Yep.
Who else is strong on the money side?
So, of course, Beth Harwell was very strong. She raised $380,000 in 5 weeks. But as of the
March 31st.
And so, who knows what she's been doing now? I know that they've been circling a number of national endorsements with the campaign.
So they're looking at some national endorsements for Beth Harwell.
They're looking predominantly women's groups that they've – some of which they've already gotten, like Maggie's List and some of the others. But there's some other very – and I'm not going to blow up their spot
and
on
we're
that.
Not,
but, yeah.
We're not going to know the FEC fundraising numbers for any of the other candidates for this quarter. It ends June 30th. Mm-hmm. They don't have to report till July 15th.
Right.
The primary is August 4th. So we're really not going to know much beyond what we have right now in terms of fundraising.
But we're not going to know that for a while. But come July 15th, 16th, or 17th, thereabouts, we're going to have a good idea who probably, in all likelihood, who's going to come in first, second, and third. And then, of course, there's Kurt Winstead, who's raised roughly $520,000, and then he loaned his campaign $480,000.
That was a magic number to get to $1 million
right.
in the bank, right?
Now, I will say, it remains to be seen whether or not he spends that roughly $500,000 that he loaned the campaign, because it could have been one of those things that's common practice, which is you pad your finance report.
Or,
either way,
as the Pink Panther would say, the old loan your money to the campaign ploy to inflate your report.
In my former life as a political consultant, I have given that advice to candidates in the past, and I've done that. So I also had one time where the candidate then took the $500,000 out of the account 2 days later without telling us, because we thought we were going to be able to spend some of it, and it didn't happen. So
yeah. I don't think that's the case here. No. I think from what I can tell, I mean, Kurt Winstead has been spending, he's at a saturation level in radio spots here already, and he's doing the who am I type approach.
Right? Yeah.
And that kind of has mixed results. It worked very well for Governor Bill Lee in 2018, because Chris Devaney, who's his advisor, was also the advisor in 2018 to Governor Bill Lee. Of course, you had a different circumstance. You had for a year, you had Randy Boyd spending like $20 million to beat up Diane Black, and you had Diane Black spending $20 million to beat up Randy Boyd. Meanwhile, slipping through the middle was Mr. Nice Guy, Bill Lee, right?
Well, you got to remember, too, this is a very enthusiastic year for Republicans. This is a wave year. But the two things that matter in the congressional race are not just the money is very, very important, and those are going to be the top-tier candidates because of the money. Their ability to translate that money into grassroots support is very, very important. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a campaign that's spending $500,000 on just TV ads and not doing door knocking and not paying, you know, field staff, they're not going
TV
to be successful.
TV ads, broadly speaking, are a big waste.
Yes.
Very ineffective way to reach likely Republican primary voters.
Yes.
We'll have more when we get back. We'll talk about the attorney general spot that's going to come up here in Tennessee at the end of August. Aaron Culbertson, the official guest host of the Tennessee Star Report, in studio. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy, back after this.